Of course, I've already announced, and you know, that our missions conference is on the calendar, and I believe that it's important as we think about missions conference that we seek to be prepared for missions conference. And honestly, missions conference is probably one of my favorite times of the calendar year. I enjoy revival meetings in the fall. They're obviously a huge blessing, a highlight on the calendar, but a missions conference is kind of a revival meeting, missions emphasis, kind of all tied together, and just absolutely love it. If you've never been part of a missions conference, I want to encourage you to be here for the missions conference. I believe that you'll be encouraged and blessed. I know some have not been here as part of our missions conference. You're newer to our church, and we want to make sure that you're ready for what God has for us. And the preaching is stirring. It's convicting. We're challenged to have a portion, a part in what God is doing globally. I'm always reminded as we read our update letters from our missionaries, as I interact with our missionaries, I pray for them. I'm reminded that God is doing a work globally. And I'm thankful for the work that God is doing. I'm thankful for the work that God is doing locally. But we understand that for God so loved the world, and God is doing a work globally. And I am extremely thankful that we have an opportunity to be a part in what God is doing. I am persuaded that God's people should actively prepare, not only for every Sunday morning, every service, we ought to have prepared hearts, but we have these special meetings. It's important that we're prepared spiritually. Every time we have a missions conference, we'll give out some things this evening. Every time we have a revival meeting, we give you a little handout of some prayer points for the week, and seeking to have your heart prepared, to have our hearts prepared, and praying for those that will come and be with us. And so we desire to be ready for what God has for us. I believe this, that God, every time you open your Bible, whether it's in your daily devotions or if it's when you come to a church service, I believe every single time God has something for us. And we need to have hearts that are prepared to receive what God has for us, and that we're actively seeking the Lord to have that heart that is a tender heart. You know, God speaks of Josiah, of a man that had a tender heart. The word of God was read, and man, he responded to the word of God being read in a very appropriate way, and we need to have our hearts prepared. This morning, with really that thought in mind of having hearts prepared, I want us to consider a portion of scripture here in Acts chapter number 20, where the Apostle Paul is speaking to the leaders of the church at Ephesus. And Paul has a desire to get to Jerusalem, and on his way, he has a desire to meet with these leaders from the church at Ephesus. And as he calls them together, he shares many things with them. This morning, I'm going to jump in the midst of the text, but we find that he begins speaking to them. It says that in verse 17, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church," in verse 18, "and when they were come to him, he said unto them," and he starts out by saying this, "Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons." And the Apostle Paul begins to talk about several things with regard to his service for the Lord there in Ephesus, and obviously as God would use him in other regions during his missionary journeys. But as he's speaking to this group of church leaders, and I want you to pick it up with me in verse 26, the Bible says this, "Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That word shunned in verse number 27 is a very unique word. In fact, that word's only used four times in the entire New Testament, that Greek word there that's translated shunned. And on two of those four times, it's in this address to the leaders of the church at Ephesus. And that word that is used and translated shunned, it carries with it the idea of those who from timidity hesitate to avow what they believe, to be unwilling to utter from fear, to shrink from declaring, to conceal. You notice that Paul says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I've titled the message this morning from verse number 26, Do I have blood on my hands? Do I have blood on my hands? Notice with me, if you're taking notes this morning, number one, Paul's understanding. Paul's understanding. We must recognize at the onset of the message this morning that the Apostle Paul was well trained. We find that the Apostle Paul would have been an expert in the Old Testament, and he was trained, he was schooled, he understood. And many times, even as he is dealing with and preaching and writing, you'll find there's a number of references that he gives to the Old Testament. And so understanding the fact that the Apostle Paul is an expert in the Old Testament, I conclude that his reference here in verse number 26, where he says that I'm pure from the blood of all men, has its roots in the book of Ezekiel. So if you take your Bible and turn back to the book of Ezekiel just briefly this morning, Ezekiel chapter number 3, and I want you to notice there in the book of Ezekiel in the third chapter, you can look at the 33rd chapter as well, but we'll spend time here right in Ezekiel chapter number 3. And I want you to understand some things here with regard to what Paul is referencing when he says that he's pure from the blood of all men. We find here in Ezekiel chapter number 3, pick it up with me in verse number 16, if you will. Ezekiel chapter number 3 and verse number 16. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Now, let me just pause for a moment. As you study the scriptures here and you understand the responsibility of Ezekiel, you find that the Bible tells us in verse 17, in verse 16, that the word of the Lord came unto me saying, and God comes to Ezekiel. He refers to him as son of man. And notice what God says, I, God, have made thee, Ezekiel, a watchman. Can I tell you in a very real way this morning, God has made us as his people watchmen. He has made us witnesses. It's not something that we see here where there was some kind of application that was sent out of who wants to be a watchman, and Ezekiel filled that thing out and whatever, and he got the job. No, God says, I have set thee, Ezekiel, to be a watchman. And what is the responsibility? Well, we find here it says this, he's a watchman under the house of Israel. Therefore, notice what he says, hear the word at my mouth. So he's going to hear the word of God and give them warning from who? From me. So we find that Ezekiel would have this task, this responsibility of being a watchman. And really what he was responsible to do was to hear from God and faithfully declare to the people the warning from God. And we find that we could make application and even see, as Paul does in Acts chapter number 20 with regard to this reference, that God, he says that ye shall be witnesses unto me. We understand that we are his witnesses. We understand that he's given us this responsibility to preach the gospel, that we're to go and warn every man. And we find that that warning is coming from God. It's that we're speaking the word of God to a lost and dying world. And so we find in verse 18 that God continues to explain to Ezekiel what this means, what is contained within the idea that I'm a watchman, and what are the responsibilities. In verse 18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning. So notice in verse 18, he says that God says, I'm going to give this warning, but you do not fulfill your responsibility as a watchman. He says, and thou givest him not warning. Not nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But notice the content there at the end of verse 18. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Wow, that's significant. I mean, those are serious stakes. God says, I'm giving the warning, and your job, Ezekiel, as a watchman, is to simply receive from me and then deliver to the people. And if you do not, remember Paul said there as we looked at the text in Acts chapter number 20 that he did not shun from declaring. And we find here that he says, if thou givest him not warning, his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet, verse 19, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Not everyone that I've ever warned, not everyone that you've ever warned, not everyone that I will warn or that you will warn will respond to the warning. There will be those that will reject, that will not believe the warning that we're speaking from God. And here's what God says, but you fulfilled your responsibility as a watchman. Why? You heard and you delivered. And what they do with it is between them and God. And he says that that person that did not turn, they did not heed the warning, that they will die in their iniquity. But notice the end of verse number 19, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, verse 20, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood, notice again, will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me. And he said unto me, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. And so here in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verses 16 through 22, God provides for us this responsibility given to Ezekiel as a watchman. But as we look in Acts chapter number 20, and we find the Apostle Paul speaking to these leaders of the church at Ephesus, we find that Paul says within this address, he says, I am pure from the blood of all men. A man that was well acquainted with the Old Testament, a man that understood the teaching of the Old Testament, an expert, a master, if you will, in the Old Testament. And he says, I am pure from the blood of all men. Why? For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And we find that the Apostle Paul had an understanding. We find that in Acts chapter 18, just a page or two over in your Bible, notice what Paul says in Acts chapter number 18, to those who rejected the message at Corinth. He's ministering there in Corinth. God had instructed him to go there. God opened the door, and there were some that opposed themselves, according to verse number 6. Notice what the Bible says. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, notice what Paul does. He shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. What was Paul saying there in Acts 18 and verse number 6? I've warned you. You've not heeded the warning. That's your problem. You're responsible. You're accountable. Your blood, notice what he says, your blood be upon your own heads. But then he says this, I am clean. Paul's job was not for all of these people to get saved, though that would be the desire of any preacher, that people would respond and accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul can say, I am clean, because he gave the warning. So Paul's understanding, he understood two things. Number one, he understood his own commission. He understood his responsibility. He understood that like Ezekiel was ordained to be a watchman, that the Apostle Paul had been given a task. He had been given a commission. Oftentimes we speak about the Great Commission, and we mention about the truth that Jesus gave the Great Commission. You shall go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's Mark's gospel. What we find that the Great Commission is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And we find that it's repeated, and God wants us to be aware of the commission that we have been given. And Paul says it this way in Romans chapter number 1, in verse number 14, and we'll actually reference a few of these statements that he makes in Romans chapter number 1, but I want you to see how Paul mentions it, because Paul had an understanding, and he understood his commission. He understood it personally. The Bible says this in Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 14. Notice the first three words, I am debtor. I am debtor. Think about the weight of that statement. The understanding that the Apostle Paul is recognizing that he is debtor, he is indebted. What is the debt the Apostle Paul owed? Well, notice he says, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And if you continue to read, which we will through the message this morning, you understand that what he was referencing is that he was a debtor because he had been commissioned to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this morning that each one of us have been commissioned to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? We're going to have a missions conference, and I'm thankful to have a missions conference, but I want you to understand this morning that every Christian is a missionary. It doesn't require that you go to a different land, a different country. It doesn't require that you learn a different language. It doesn't require that you learn a different culture. It doesn't require that you get on a ship or an airplane. No, we are missionaries. We sing the song with the kids, be a missionary every day. And the reality is that each one of us, every single one of us, need to view ourselves as being debtors. I am indebted. Where does this idea come from? The idea that God has given me something that I need to give to others. And I am indebted, and I have this debt that I have to pay. I have to let people know the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, when we think about Paul understanding his commission, there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse number 20, Paul says that now then are we ambassadors. You think about that responsibility of being an ambassador, a representative, and we find that within the text there, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 20, he makes it clear what we're ambassadors to do. He says, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. God has given to us, as Paul would mention in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, this ministry. What is this ministry? Well, it's the ministry of reconciliation. It's the responsibility that we have as ambassadors to go forth and to be his representatives, to go and take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I don't know if you've realized it, but people are dying. People are dying. People need the Lord. They need to know the truth of the gospel. And it's our responsibility to preach the gospel. Paul had an understanding of his commission. Not only did he have an understanding of his commission, he had an understanding of their condition. See, Paul understood that people were dying, but he understood that people were lost. He understood for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He understood that. The Apostle Paul understood that we're all sinners. And he understood, as the Bible says in Romans 6, and God would use him to write the book of Romans in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. The Apostle Paul understood with great clarity what was at stake, and the Apostle Paul had a desire for people to be saved, and he went forth, and we find this understanding. It's foundational to what we look at here, and we understand this text of Scripture in Acts chapter number 20, and he understood their condition. Notice what Paul says in 1 Timothy, if you will. Turn there, 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll look at a couple of verses in the first and second chapter. But notice in 1 Timothy, as Paul would give understanding to his son in the faith, Timothy, truth with regard to the condition of humanity and their need. Can I remind you this morning that the greatest need of every single human being is to be saved by the blood of Christ? That is the greatest need of every human being, is salvation. If you're here this morning and you've been saved by the grace of God, you know for sure, with absolute certainty, that heaven is your home. Your greatest need has been met. And it can only be met through Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He is the Savior of the world. He is the only one that can save, that has the power to save. And it's only through His precious blood that He shed on the cross of Calvary. And we find here in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, notice what Paul says in verse number 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world for what purpose? To save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. Aren't you thankful that God, who is rich in mercy, the Bible says that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. If you go to chapter number 2 and notice in verse number 4, the Bible says, who, speaking of God our Savior, look at verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Listen, this morning it is God's will for human beings to be saved. The Bible says very plainly in 2 Peter chapter number 3, for God, it says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we find this morning the truth as the Apostle Paul is understanding the condition of humanity. He's understanding the condition of those that God has called him to minister to and his own commission. And we find that this was understood. Paul had an understanding. This morning, I would say that it's important for every one of us to have an understanding of these same truths. Number one, that we've been commissioned, that we've been given a responsibility, that as the disciples would say, that we are His witnesses, that we would desire to be faithful ambassadors. See, the reality this morning is that you're an ambassador. The question is, what kind of an ambassador are you? Amen? We are His ambassadors, just what kind? The reality this morning is if you're saved, if you're a child of God, you are a soldier. But the Bible says that we're to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And we find that we can ask the question, what kind of soldier are we? What kind of ambassador am I? And we look at this and we find that we must understand this commission that has been given to us as individuals. God clearly speaks to Ezekiel and makes it plain, I have set thee to be a watchman. This is the commission that Ezekiel was given by God Almighty. And for those of us that are here this morning that are saved, we've been given a commission. But we also must understand the condition of those around us. Every single person that you see is going to spend forever somewhere. And we know on the authority of God's word, there's only two places, heaven and the lake of fire. That's it. There's no in between. There's no in between. And every single person that we come in contact with is going to die one day. As it is appointed unto man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. Listen, it's serious business. This thing of being a Christian, Paul understood. This morning, we need to kind of have a reset of understanding the truth that we find Paul communicating here to the leaders at the church at Ephesus. The understanding, notice not only Paul's understanding, but I want you to notice number two, Paul's urgency. Paul's urgency. Go back to Acts chapter number 20, if you will. In Acts chapter number 20, it's interesting. Again, we're not taking the entire context and we're not preaching through the book of Acts this morning or through this chapter. But I want you to understand the urgency even with regard to meeting with these leaders of the church at Ephesus. Paul didn't have the time to go meet with them. He was on his way to Jerusalem and he calls for them and he's going to meet with them and he tells them all of these wonderful things and he gives them testimony, gives them instruction. He says this in verse 22, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And so the Apostle Paul says, I'm going to Jerusalem. I don't know all that I'm going to face, but I know that there's going to be trials and troubles and difficulties. Why? Because the work of God is always opposed. By the way, everywhere that Paul went, he was met with opposition. But notice verse 24, but none of these things move me. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish, notice he says, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry, notice what he says, which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Listen, the Apostle Paul understood, as we mentioned a moment ago, his commission and their condition. And you notice in verse 24 that he says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. He had a goal so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry. But notice this statement, which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Listen, this morning, we've been given a ministry from our Lord. From our Lord. And Paul's understanding led to urgency. We find that his understanding of what Christ had commissioned him to do, what Christ had equipped him to do, that God had enabled him to do, that he was going to do it with urgency. In fact, we see here in Acts chapter 20, if you skip down to verse number 27, he says, I read it by way of introduction, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. But then look in verse 31, the Bible says this, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Do you see the urgency in verse 27? Paul says for 3 years. 3 years is a long time. He says that I cease not, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day. But then it says this, with tears. That urgency coupled with that compassion. The understanding of the condition of humanity, the understanding of the condition of those individuals that he would speak to, that he would seek to minister to. And he says that I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Oh, that lost people would see the love of Christ in us, the compassion. Our Lord was moved with compassion. And we too are to be compassionate. Of some have compassion, making a difference, we read in the book of Jude. And we find this morning that the Apostle Paul operated with urgency. In Acts chapter number 17, he's there in a situation where he's been dealing with some difficulty in Thessalonica and Berea, and he's left there at Athens. And the Bible tells us that when he's in Athens, and really the idea, if you're to look at the entirety of what happens in Acts 17, that Paul is to go there and really kind of rest up, if you will. But the Bible says that Paul was there and he saw this city, the city of Athens, and he saw that it was a city that was wholly given to idolatry. A city that was completely, entirely given to idolatry. And the Bible says that his spirit was stirred within him. And so what do you find Paul doing? Well, you find him going and preaching. And he says, I went and I saw all these altars and I saw this one to the unknown God, and him declare I unto you. And he preaches the gospel. He lived with urgency. We find that in Romans chapter 1, as we mentioned earlier, that he understood that he was a debtor. But because of his understanding of being a debtor, in verse number 15, he says this, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He was ready. I'm reminded as you begin to think about this idea of being ready and being prepared and having that mindset that every conversation I'm desiring to bring to a place of gospel message, these interactions that the Lord would give us. We find that the Apostle Paul, he went everywhere preaching, seeking to declare the truth of who God is. See, Paul's life had been changed miraculously. Paul got saved on the road to Damascus. We read it in Acts chapter number 9. And his life was forever changed. God did for Paul, Saul at the time, we know that his name would be changed, but God did for Saul what no religion could do for Saul. He was a religious man. Again, master, scholar of the Old Testament, religious man. But Christ did something for him that no religion could do. Christ did something for him that no man could do. Christ changed his life, saved his soul, met his greatest need. We find that his life was changed. And God gave him a commission, a mandate, a responsibility. And we find that Paul lived with urgency. He lived with urgency. He had a desire for people to be saved, and he went preaching the gospel, and he had this burden. He mentions it in 2 Corinthians 10, to go to the regions beyond, to go and to reach more and more people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Apostle Paul believed what God revealed to him, and it impacted his behavior. We've mentioned so many times that belief impacts behavior, and that behavior reveals belief. And this morning, when you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, and when you look at his manner, and as he would go and preach the gospel, listen, he understood that he had been commissioned. He understood what was at stake, and he understood the truth from Ezekiel chapter number 3, that God said, "Hey, Ezekiel, if I give you a warning and you don't do what I tell you to do, you don't deliver that warning, yes, they're going to die, but their blood, I'm going to require your hands." Whew, it's weighty. It's weighty. Do we live with urgency? Do we have the understanding? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, we're familiar with the verse in verse number 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." The Bible goes on to tell us in verse number 4 that the God of this world, the little g God of this world, hath blinded their minds lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. The Bible goes on to say a few verses later, I believe it's in verse number 7, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This morning, the title of the message is, "Do I Have Blood on My Hands?" But I'll be honest with you, it's not an easy message to preach, by the way. All week long, God has been dealing with me. And here's a better question that I ask myself. It's not, "Do I have blood on my hands?" but "How much blood do I have on my hands?" Because it's really not a situation where I can say, as Paul says in Acts chapter number 20, I mean, it's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God that I am pure from the blood of all men. I can't say that this morning. It's not a matter of, "Do I have blood on my hands?" It's, "How much blood do I have on my hands?" And as I begin to think about the message and begin to think about the seriousness of what's before us and the idea, yes, we're going to have a missions conference, and it's an exciting time on our church calendar, and we're going to hear some preaching, and we're going to be stirred up about what God is going to do in this missionary family that's going to this place, and this missionary family that's going to this place, and work that's taking place, and so on and so forth. And we read letters all the time for our missionaries about things that are taking place, but I'm a missionary, and you're a missionary. I've been given a commission, and you've been given a commission. As individual believers, we have this responsibility. And so really, as I think about the message and I think about the Apostle Paul saying that I am pure from the blood of all men and asking ourselves the question this morning, how much blood do I have on my hands? I would say this, how do we respond to such a message? How do we respond to such a truth? Well, I really think there's a twofold response. Number one this morning is that we can think about those missed opportunities and we can have regret. We can look at the missed opportunities. I hope this morning that you can humbly acknowledge that you've missed opportunities. Maybe the Spirit of God specifically in that still small voice spoke to you about sharing the gospel with someone and you didn't. You shunned. You were timid. You were fearful. I've been there. We're in that situation where we look at a message like this and we think about those missed opportunities, and sometimes with those missed opportunities can come a level of regret. It could be that missed opportunities are the direct result of disobedience, where we've simply disobeyed what God has instructed us to do. It could also be a matter of distraction. I'm not trying to eliminate the fact of disobedience, but sometimes we just get too busy. We just go through life almost like with the blinders on so that we're not, I just need to be laser focused. Well, as believers, yes, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we're to have our eyes on our Savior. But can I remind myself and can I remind you this morning that our focus is to be on the fields that are white unto harvest? Lift up your eyes. The Lord says this. And he tells us that the harvest, listen, it's plenteous. The laborers, they're few. And I understand that at times, not only could it be disobedience, not only could it be distraction, but at times it could be discouragement. Because you've tried to share the gospel and you went and you took the gospel and it was rejected and it was rejected and it could cause us to be discouraged. But can I remind you this morning that it's not about the result? God said to Ezekiel, if you warn them and they don't change, they don't respond, they continue, they're going to die in their sins, but you're clean. That's what it's about. That's the focus. And I acknowledge this morning that sometimes when we look back and we hear a message like this, and Paul's talking about past tense, he's talking about his ministry there in Ephesus and all that took place, and he says, you know these things. And I think about those missed opportunities. So what do I do? If I sit here this morning, listen, you're hearing the message right now for the first time. I've been dealing with it all week. In fact, it was about 2 weeks ago that God put this message on my heart. And Mark, sometimes you want to argue with God. Do I really want to preach that message? It's already messing me up. But God just kept telling me, that's the message. That's the message. So what do? When we think about those missed opportunities, we confess it to the Lord. Confess it to the Lord. Seek forgiveness. God, I didn't warn them. I disobeyed. I wasn't a faithful ambassador. I wasn't a good witness. For whatever reason, I was distracted. I was discouraged. I was just flat out disobedient. I was afraid. Whatever it is, confess it. Forsake it. Lord, forgive me. Aren't you thankful that with thee is forgiveness? The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And praise God that we have an advocate with our Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Praise God for that. And so what do? Well, I don't get to a place where I just have a pity party and I just kind of implode on myself that I've disobeyed in the past and I'm just going to keep on. No, I'm going to confess it to the Lord. I'm going to get it right with God. And then I'm going to do this. I'm going to ask God for another opportunity. You know, there's some people that you might be able to think about this morning. There's some people that I've thought about for the last 2 weeks that I didn't share the gospel with them. And I may never have an opportunity with that person ever again. But I can ask God to give an opportunity. I can ask God to give a second chance, if you will. Aren't you thankful that God is a God of second and third and fourth chances, opportunities? Jonah got in to the belly of that whale after he went in disobedience to God in a completely different direction from Nineveh, knowing sure well what God had commanded him to do. But then he got to Nineveh and he preached the gospel. Now, he preached the message of destruction. We find that there was a response that was a favorable response, and then he's discouraged over it because he didn't like the people of Nineveh and all those things. We're not going to get into all that this morning. But we understand that God deals with him. But what I'm saying this morning is that God is able to give another opportunity. No doubt there are some that have died that we may not have another opportunity. But we have to confess it to the Lord. So what do we do? What's a response to a message like this? Well, number one, we look back and we say, man, I got a lot of blood on my hands. I have shunned. I've not been faithful. God, forgive me. Forgive me. But then, number two, we look at today and we look forward. And we make a commitment to God. Not a commitment to the pastor, not a commitment to some other person, but we make a commitment to God that God, by your grace and with your help, I want to be a faithful ambassador. God, I want to seize the opportunities that you would give me. God, I want to be prepared. I want to be ready to preach the gospel. Paul would say in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also to the Greek." And we begin to understand that going forward from today, really the heart attitude, the desire would be, I don't want any more blood on my hands. I don't want any more blood on my hands. The question, by way of the title this morning, is how much blood do I have on my hands? But the concern for every one of us this morning is this: let's not add any more blood to our hands. Does that make sense this morning? I can't change yesterday. I can't change yesterday. I can simply confess it and ask God to forgive me and ask God for another opportunity. But I can't go back in time. Somebody said to me earlier this morning, Kevin, he's like, I can't be at two places at one time. We can't. But we also can't go back in time. We just can't do it. It's impossible. But don't allow that to cripple you for today and for forward. What do I mean by that? Well, sometimes we can get so paralyzed by our past mistakes that we stop doing or we continue to make those mistakes and we don't change because of all of our regret and our difficulty of, well, I messed up over here and I didn't do this. No, listen, we got to confess it and forsake it, and then we got to say, God, I don't want any more blood on my hands. I just don't want any more blood on my hands. But they don't want to, listen, the devil's going to fight you. They don't want to hear it. So what? So what? God, listen, do you think the people wanted to hear Ezekiel? What about Isaiah in chapter number 6 when he was commissioned to go? God gives him the commission. You know what Isaiah saw? He saw God high, holy, and lifted up. And he was broken and he fell before the Lord. And we find that there in Isaiah chapter number 6, who will go, right? And Isaiah answers the call, here am I. And he answers the call, here am I, before he fully understands the commission. Why? Because he saw God. When you get full of God, when you see God in his rightful place, you'll just obey him. It's not a matter of, God, tell me first what I need to do, and then I'll determine if I'm going to obey you. It's that I'm going to obey you because of who you are. And then God tells them, you're going to go, you're going to preach, but they're not going to listen. You read it in Isaiah 6, they're not going to listen. Well, isn't that exciting? Really? Isn't that exciting? But it wasn't a matter of whether they listened to him or whether they responded to him. You know what Isaiah was blessed for? Obeying, obedience, doing what God said to do. Paul would say in Colossians chapter number 1, if you want to look there quickly and finish with this morning, in Colossians chapter number 1, Paul is mentioning, and really right along with what we're looking at this morning, with this idea of warning. Listen, the devil's going to fight you. But you got to make a determination. I don't want any more blood on my hands. I don't want any more blood on my hands. In Colossians chapter number 1, in verse 27, the Bible says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. Notice what it says, warning every man. And teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That phrase, every man, is used 3 times in verse 28. The desire of anyone that's preaching the gospel is that everyone that would hear it would respond in obedience. But I've preached the gospel long enough to know that that doesn't happen. It's an individual decision to receive or to reject. But I understand that I still have a responsibility before God to continue to warn every man. To continue to warn. Listen, I've had people that have said, no, I don't want that gospel tract. Get out of here. We had a lady, we send out these new move-ins. If they have an apartment or something, we mail it to them instead of taking it to their door because we can't get in many times. And somebody called the church last week, I mean, mad as a hornet because we sent him a welcome to the neighborhood. But you know what made him mad is that there was a gospel tract in there. There's a gospel tract in there. I've had somebody rip a gospel tract up in my face. Literally. I think, Kimberly, you went to the same place and had a similar situation. Aldi, right over here, there's a worker there. And I simply said, as many times I do, and I don't engage with people in lengthy conversations when they're working to respect the fact that they're working, but I took out a gospel tract and I said, listen, can I share this with you, something to read? And a lot of times I say this, the message in this tract changed my life, and I want to know if you'll read it. And that guy followed me about 12 feet or 15 feet out of the Aldi, and he said, is this for me? I said, yeah, it's for you. He's like, so I can do anything I want with it. I was like, well, I hope you'd read it. He's like, so this is for me. And he got as close to me as he could, and he just ripped it right in my face. You know what the truth is in that situation? If we could look at Ezekiel, his blood is on his head. I can't make him read it. I can't make him believe it. But we better be warning. We better be warning. And so what can we say this morning? How much blood is on your hands? How much blood is on my hands? And how do we respond to that? Acknowledge that you have blood on your hands and ask God to forgive you. And then determine from this day going forward, with God's help and by God's grace, I don't want any more blood on my hands. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. We're thankful for your grace and for your mercy. I'm thankful this morning to be your representative, your ambassador. God, I pray that you would help each one of us in these moments as we have an opportunity to respond to what we've heard this morning. Thank you for using your word. You promised to do so, and I believe that you have. And now, God, would you help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only? Lord, would you help us to be humble and broken this morning to confess the blood that's on our hands? God, would you help us this morning to commit as we go forward that by your grace and with your help, we'll have no more blood on our hands, that we'll be actively engaged in warning. As Paul said, he warned every man. God, those opportunities that you would give us, would you help us to seize them? Would you help us to speak forth the glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ? That souls would be saved and lives would be changed. Use us, God, for your glory. Well, thank you for every decision that's made, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not sure of heaven this morning, I warn you, today is the day of salvation. Mark's here with the Bible if you're a man. Holly's here with the Bible if you're a lady. Come and take a Bible and show you can know for sure that heaven's your home. But the message obviously is to believers this morning. And as Kimberly plays, the altar is open.